This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV, and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Susie Rong, are you there?
I'm here. Panic's over.
Oh, we can relax.
I think so. Hey, Warren.
Yeah.
Characters in this week's movie, I think they seem to have a fear of commitment and maybe a fear of failure. Do you relate to any of those?
Oh, all of them. All of the above. A C. What about you?
I think I worked many years to not have the fear of failure, and I'm very good at I think I've become quite good at that. If there's something that I want to do and I'm afraid of not doing very well, I don't let myself get in the way of trying.
Mm.
In terms of commitment, though, I think the jury's out.
Oh, really? Ah, okay. Because we have spoken about that before, and I thought you might be afraid of commitment. You're not afraid to commit to drive, though.
No. I think I do have the thing. It's so funny. You played Unbreak My Heart earlier.
Mm.
I do think that I do have such a severe broken heart.
Aww.
That it's really hard to kind of get it to work in the way that it used to again. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I don't really feel like I'm missing out on much. I just kind of being objective and observing it, I think that, oh, maybe I am afraid of commitment. Maybe I am afraid of relationships, but I'm okay with that. It's not like I feel like I'm missing anything.
But you're
feel
right.
You have been accused of that, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. You're right. Our past relationship experiences, I mean, they certainly impact whether we want to go, if they've been nasty, I mean, or not pleasant, the last thing we want to do is go back to one of those. I know I've had those experiences. I've always been scared of committing to someone because I think, oh, what if it's not right? What if it goes wrong? What if I'm not good enough? You know, the questions that you just keep asking yourself. And I don't know. I reckon sometimes gay relationships can be hard.
But nothing stopped you trying.
No. We try all the time, Susie Rong. You know, we're trying. It's good now, I must admit. I'm happy at the moment.
Oh, that's so good.
Yes, but we're talking about a show today. It's called The Wedding Banquet. We'll get your review about it in a second, but there is a Korean aspect to the show. Let's just say I had the Korean sitting next to me while we were watching the show, and it was really interesting.
You have first-hand experience right there.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because when you're watching something that shows things about it displays to you a different culture, you learn a lot about it when you've got someone next to you who understands the culture. And I found it fascinating. I found it fascinating watching all about Korean weddings. They look like so much fun, yet there's so much ritual happening in the wedding as well, so much tradition in the ceremony. And
I guess the ritual stands out because it's such a different form of it takes on such a different form. It looks so different.
It does.
But, you know, any kind of wedding is full of ritual. It's nothing but ritual, really.
The one thing I did like, though, in the Korean wedding ritual is the carrying of the bride on their back. I thought that was hilarious, and I kept saying, well, who's going to carry who?
I can see you carrying your husband when that day happens.
I don't know. I might not have the strength. He's pretty tall.
And we'll make it work, I'm sure.
I'm pretty short. It'll be like a Great Dane on a Chihuahua. Susie,
well, we're queer people. We do things queerly.
Let's talk about the show. It's called The Wedding Banquet. What did you think of it?
Min needs a green card to stay in the USA, but can't marry his boyfriend Chris because his Korean grandfather is very rich and very homophobic. Meanwhile, their lesbian friends, Angela and Lee, are trying to get pregnant, but IVF treatments are costing too much money. A solution for both parties, they discover, is for Min to marry Angela so that everybody can get what they want. The narrative for this remake of The Wedding Banquet, now playing at cinemas, probably does not make quite as much sense as its 1993 original, but it is no less entertaining. The film is funny and poignant in equal measure, and even though it's been 33 years, we are still delighted to see the underrepresentation of queer Asians being rectified. The performances are strong. Chris is played by Bowen Yang, whose stardom has been rising steadily these few years, and it's refreshing to see him exercise his dramatic abilities alongside his excellent comedy. The two maternal characters are played by Joan Chen and Yeo Jung, both acting legends who light up the screen with every appearance. I wasn't quite convinced by the pretext for this sham wedding, but the writing is otherwise very strong, especially in terms of the dialogue that we hear in this update of The Wedding Banquet. There is a lot of wisdom being shared and always done in elegant ways. It is a pleasure also to see queer men and women of color being portrayed so well with all of their flaws, fears, and vulnerability. I love seeing gay men and gay women getting along in a completely organic way, which doesn't happen enough in our storytelling. Warren, do you think it's now a normalized phenomenon where queer people are thinking about marriage and having babies almost like they're straight people?
I think so. And but Susie, and I think that's fantastic that it is. But I think you and I have spoken about this before. I feel like I'm a bit stuck in the, I suppose because it wasn't really an option for me at the time, I'm sort of a bit stuck in the past where we don't have kids. And I know a lot of queer people don't have kids as well. But I think it's great that world is changing. Susie, I wanted to ask you something about the movie, The Wedding Banquet, which is what we're talking about today. And that is the pressure to be a really good child. We see that Min is very successful, very handsome, and living in New York, but doesn't feel like enough for his family. Is that an Asian thing?
I think so. I don't think that everyone experiences it the same way. Mm. You know, I think that there's always going to be people who are a little bit against the grain. But in this case, we see Min to be very reverential of those traditions, even though he's queer. And you can see how much he's terrified of letting down his parents, you know, his family expectations. Mm. But also there's that dimension of him wanting to stay in the USA. So it is both these things. I don't think I've ever experienced it, anything like that. My father is quite a strange creature. When I was very young and he had a successful business, he told me that it's not a family business, which gave me a strange kind of surprise.
What did he mean?
A little bit of, he meant that he was setting up this business not for me to take over, that, you know, a lot of traditional families would think of the businesses, you know, like, and I was, you know, the first child, and automatically we all thought that, you know, it was my future, like what he's created at that time, what he was creating at the time was going to be my future. But he was, you know, very blunt in saying that what he's doing now has nothing to do with me. You know, his intentions were good. He was saying that I can go and do whatever I want with my life. So he is a bit of a different creature in that sense. But obviously in that moment, I remember feeling a jolt of rejection, which wasn't nice. But, you know, on reflection, I have experienced a lot more freedom than many Asian people from my generation, I suppose.
Do you think your father, and a bit like the film The Wedding Banquet and the grandmother in the film, do you think your father perhaps knew a bit more about you than what you thought he did and he was looking out for you?
I don't think it's that. The grandmother had this amazing moment when she said that she understands love because she kind of didn't have it.
I loved that.
Yeah, that was beautifully written, beautifully performed.
That was amazing.
I think what my father had was a lot of disappointment from his parents, and he was always worried that he would repeat the mistakes that his parents had done on him. And maybe he thought that that lack of freedom from his parents was something that he didn't want to replicate. So he was determined that I was able to become whatever person that I was going to be.
Mm. I think that's fascinating. Did you get emotional during the movie?
I didn't get emotional during this movie. I was trying to get into it quite deeply. Mm. I don't know if it's a generational thing. Yeah, I feel like it's quite specific to younger Asians. And maybe sometimes sometimes it's less about the film and it's more about me. But, you know, maybe it's. You've matured past some things, and some things just kind of don't hit the same way because you've may hopefully grown past some of those stages in life. Maybe
there's a big as we've mentioned, big Korean family energy in this film. There's strong traditions. There's food rituals. There's unspoken expectations. I think, I found it fascinating watching it, as particularly, watching it with someone from Korea who was able to, I suppose, narrate what was going on, which was absolutely fascinating. But, you know, what was really more surprising is, during the wedding scene, something happens. We're not going to spoil it, but he was more emotional than me. I'm normally the emotional one, but that was quite pleasant to see. But have you ever dated someone from a different culture where you've felt that everything was totally new to you?
I've only ever dated people from different cultures. It's really weird. Like now that I'm, in my 50s, I feel like, oh, it would be so nice to date someone who's from my culture, so that you don't have to go through those months and years of trying to bridge that gap, but it's not happened for me, and these things happen how they will, and I have certainly been in that position before. I did find it really fascinating. My first long-term boyfriend was Muslim, and then my second long-term boyfriend was just like a really white Australian, so I've had to learn a lot of things, really up close and personal. I think they contribute a lot to my personal growth. I think it's great.
One of the things, I call myself the United Nations. I feel like I've had every culture under the sun. But you know what? Each time I get something and I learn something, and what I love is I learn something about the food. And I reckon I can walk into any restaurant and I know the cuisine and I love it and I've learned so much. And I feel so enriched and so thankful as a result. I really do. I don't feel there's no bitterness, even the ones that didn't end well. I feel like, you know what? I got exposed to something that I would never have got exposed to just by myself, or if I just stuck to my own culture. And, I've dated my own culture as well. I think it's fascinating. I love it. I love being open to all these new experiences and not being so closed. I think it's so enriching.
Did the movie strike a chord with you? Like the themes of it?
Mm. Say that again, sorry.
Did the movie strike a chord with you?
Yeah, it really did, actually. It struck a chord in the sense of, I think, I know people, and we all know people that want a better life and at the same time don't necessarily believe that they're good enough because of whatever reason, whether it be their parents have been strict, they've told them that, or that, whatever the reason is. And I think it struck a chord there because for me, I've always struggled with that. I'm not good enough, and I've overcompensated academically to try and bridge that gap. And then I realized, I don't really, it's okay now. But back then it was like one degree after another just so I could get approval from my father. And it struck a chord there because I could sort of almost see similarities, even though it was a different culture of strict parents, high expectations, and really you just want to be something else.
Wow, that's really great. I really love hearing that. I think I have gone so far past that of trying to get approval from my father.
Yeah.
You know, what I did feel in the film, I was happy to see younger generations and how their circumstances are so different from ours. Because, you know, very little of this film is about being in a closet. And it is about these young younger American, queer American people trying to, you know, create nice lives for themselves. And it's so nice to be able to see that there. They're trying to create nice lives for themselves without a whole lot of homophobia coming down at them. I really like that.
The other thing,
but maybe because it is so much about marriage and babies, and those are things that are not really up my alley. So maybe that's why it didn't kind of speak very emotionally to me.
And Susie, I love that about you. I love your authenticity. The other thing I just want to say, just to finish off, is, and I think you alluded to this before, Susie, is there aren't many films like this where queerness meets Asian family expectations in a warm but honest way. Don't you reckon?
Yeah, we still have a lot of issues with Asian people being able to make queer films, especially outside of the West. And obviously, if you're in America, in Australia and UK, just making Asian films are hard anyway. And outside of that, you know, within Asia, there are just so few opportunities to see Asian people telling stories about ourselves. So this was a really great opportunity. And for me, just being able to see how these, 30-somethings view the world as queer Asian Americans is valuable to me. And I love that I can see how things have changed. You know, a lot of the challenges that we've had to overcome and a lot of the activism that we did, you know, from the 80s, 90s onwards, that the actual concrete improvements that have occurred, I can see it in this film, and I really appreciated that.
Susie Rong, love chatting with you. Sorry about the technical problems earlier. What are we watching next week?
Overcompensating is on Amazon Prime Video, a new series about a college football player struggling to come to terms with being gay based on a true story. Overcompensating for when I see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.